You can't hear me gulping, can you?
Yep, I heard it all the way back here. So rude.
Seriously, though?
Hey, look, whatever you do in your personal life is not up to us to judge, okay?
Keep that to yourself. No, but really, can you hear drinking water? Okay, good, perfect. Because I am a loud gulper.
Good to know.
All right, so...
You said
set
it.
Set myself up for that one. Yeah, no.
Let me.
No. I know, it happens all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast with your host, Superbeard Vince Hoover, and his co-host, Jason Q. Perez and Denise Jackson, a podcast for the indoctrinated nerd, the casual fan, and everyone in between. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to the 12th episode, the Dirty Dozen of the Two Geeks in a New Podcast. I am your host, Superbeard Vince Hoover. I am joined, as always, by Denise Jackson, who is unfortunately having some camera difficulties, but her pretty face is still there for everybody to see. As well, the other ultra-pretty face, Jason Q. Perez, is there. But his face is moving, so you can see his pretty face. And then we have a third pretty face to round out. It'll now be called Three Pretties and an Ugly. Guess who the ugly is? But Lily is here. She is back, ladies and gentlemen. Lily.
Hey, Lily.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So today on our 12th episode is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk What If Episode 3, which was a pretty big one. And yes. We're also going to have fun. We're going to be playing an online version of Cards Against Humanity. We all know how that game goes. This should be loads of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be in the second half of the podcast. But first, let's talk episode 4 of What If. I forgot to write down the episode number. I'm dumb. But it is called What If Doctor Strange Lost His Heart Instead of His Hands.
Yes.
I'm apparently using my radio announcer voice. but it was a fantastic episode. And before we go any further, Denise, you first. I want your reaction because I know how much Doctor Strange is your favorite character. The Doctor Strange movie is your favorite MCU movie. I want your reaction, just a quick overall reaction to the episode.
Wow. That was really, really good. I really enjoyed this episode. It was my favorite so far. And it's not just because it was Doctor Strange. Like, they really went above and beyond in the what if category. It was interesting seeing him so heartfelt instead of trying to cover up emotions with sarcasm. So,
I absolutely 1,000% agree. Lily, you just finished the episode. What are your thoughts? You're coming off of it more fresh than any of us.
Yeah, with you right there on being grounded in the emotions of the episode. Really, really great voice acting work by Benedict Cumberbatch. And yeah, I loved it.
Your quick thoughts on the episode as well.
It was dark. It was dark. It was actually my favorite episode. Doctor Strange is one of my top favorite characters. So, it was really interesting to see, the consequences of, great powers like that coming to a head. And, it was all around a great episode. It was very key, to how the MCU is going to be moving forward from here.
I agree. Now, I will say that kind of jumping to the end right away, but not completely, I just want to say that this was, in all honesty, the first ever MCU property to have a very bleak and dark ending. There was no happy ending here, not even a glimmer of hope in this. It's like, yeah, we had a dark ending in Infinity War where Thanos had won and all these heroes had been snapped away, but we knew they were coming back. We knew we were getting Endgame. There was still a glimmer of hope. It hit us hard. We felt it, but it's not the same as this episode. This episode ends very bleak, no hope whatsoever. No. It is the darkest thing. And a lot of people have said that the reason we haven't seen Mephisto is because Disney refuses to put anything demonic on their streaming platform. But anybody who's seen the episode, which, by the way, I should have mentioned this, spoilers. Sorry, spoilers. like major spoilers. If you haven't figured that out already, that's all we do here.
Yeah.
Spoil.
Kind of important.
Yeah. The other thing we do here is we like and subscribe because that's what good people do.
That's what good people
Please
do.
Like and subscribe. Join us on Twitch, by the way. You can comment. Nelson actually brings up a great point. He does like how they're getting just about everybody back from the movies to voice their characters. And that is a really good touch. And it does make it feel very connected. But we had real demons in this. I mean, we even had David the Gnome. I mean, come on. So that was great. I have some questions, though. How did the Ancient One come back?
So I did see some breakdown videos about this, and a lot of people, a lot of the logic begins where she cannot, like she said in Doctor Strange's first solo movie, that she cannot see past her own death. So that's where everybody starts with this question. Maybe there's a concept of maybe she's able to look into alternate realities. And then yes, even though she was already passed away at this point, she could somehow psychically visit these. She already had an idea of this event to happen, so then planned it after her death, and then went and executed after the fact. What's the thought?
It has to be, because it wasn't even an astral projection either. It was a physical form. So that was, I would say, the only confusing part on my end that I thought was confusing. I would like to point out that when he gets to the Library of Castrios,
Cagliostro.
Cagliostro. Stupid words. the man that's the caretaker, who is basically the Wong of this library, is a character named Obeng, B-E-N-G-H. Wow. However, Obeng is not just a random character. He is actually Cagliostro. God dang it.
Cagliostro.
I have to read it to say it correctly. Cagliostro in the comics. So the comic book character is, he ruled a benevolent kingdom in India around 1000 AD. At that time, a time-traveling Dr. Doom had gone back in time. They struck up a kind of friendship, and he was the one who taught Dr. Doom the mystic arts, which is where Dr. Doom has learned to mix technology with sorcery.
Yes.
He also became very enamored with his whole time travel abilities, and that is what started what would end up being the Book of Cagliostro. To read it. It's part the notes from Dr. Doom, and it's part Darkhold, because in the comics he had a very long run where he was going against Dracula. So he was very much a good person, even though he did teach Dr. Doom, who is one of the biggest villains of the Marvel comics, sorcery. It was not done in an evil content. I wanted to ask Denise, what did you think going into, like, right before Christina's death the first time? Did it feel like the same relationship they had in the movie at that time?
No, it felt like there was a lot deeper of a relationship, for sure.
Like maybe they never broke up.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking too. And I wanted to get your opinion on that, because again, I know how much you love that movie. So that was interesting to me. And it became that her death became what's called an absolute point. And I actually wrote, before they even said the words absolute point, I wrote a nexus event. So I wonder if they're kind of one and the same.
Could be. I mean, yeah. They did talk about different time branches, and I was kind of thinking of the TVA when they were talking about all that as well. So.
And I also found it interesting that the Ancient One actually split that reality into two realities as well.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah. So if she could do that, why couldn't she just stop him right there? I mean, that's some serious power she has right there. And it's already dark energy stuff that she's, and she just went ahead and let it happen. But in her defense, he does reprise, he does come back in the later episodes of What If. So he is probably a necessary character who had to go through this in order to serve his purpose later on in the episodes we will see in the future.
I would agree.
That would be like just like in the movie then. Or yeah. Actually, that would be an Endgame where she was saying that Shang is supposed to be
The one.
What, where did she, yeah, the one.
The best of us.
The best of us. Yeah. Yeah.
Even at his worst, which is what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So he ends up studying for centuries.
Yeah.
Which I found fascinating. And it goes along the line with Dormammu. I'm signing for those who are listening on the audio podcast. It goes along with the Dormammu in the movie, where he was willing to die however many times. It's been speculated thousands and thousands of times that he died, to the point where he would annoy this being to the point of giving in. So it shows the resolve, I guess, for lack of a better term, of Doctor Strange, that he's willing to put in the time and the effort.
Perseverance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another word for it. Although it was for the wrong reasons, it's still perseverance.
Who's to say it was for the wrong reasons if it worked out?
It didn't work out. And
in this one it did not.
Yeah, so I'm saying he was told it wouldn't work out, and he was told it wasn't supposed to work. And
right.
But it was one of the, like, it's persistence plus ego equals bad times.
I'm gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, it's some of the worst things in history are you know, laced with the best of intentions. But it's also incredibly selfish.
Oh yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand where he's coming from, and I think in that same situation, I could be tempted to do the same thing he did. I'm not gonna lie. Losing the love of my life and then having powers like that where I should be able to fix it, and then having a Groundhog Day effect. It reminded me, and I wrote this down. You guys remember the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, the homeless man. Mm-hmm. He kept trying to save the homeless man's life. He kept trying all these different things, and no matter what, the homeless man was meant to die that day.
Yeah, this also reminded. It also reminded me of the movie The Time Machine, where he tried to save his girlfriend in the first act of the movie.
Yeah.
She, no matter what he did, she always ended up dying in some fashion.
I do my best to not remember that movie because it's not good.
I know.
But the book, the same thing happens in the book.
Yeah.
And the book is good for its time. Like, it's a hard read now, but it's just because of the way it's written in Old English. We got a return. We did get a bit of continuity here, a bit of a connection. We got a tie into the first episode. What'd you think about that with the tentacle monster, Lily?
I was wondering. At first, I was confused. I was like, wait a second. Who, what, and why?
Remember, they all exist in their
interesting.
Own universe.
The fact that Strange spent hundreds of years studying, absorbing, preparing, I question a little, you know, because in all that time, you don't think he would have stopped and gone, multiverse, you know, just thought about it, if there was any more literature warning him not to do this. So that made me take a step back. So,
but there's the old saying, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. But absolute power mingled with absolute sorrow is the most dangerous cocktail.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't thinking straight to begin with. And then on top of that, there's a good chance that the split that the Ancient One did, because you notice how quickly he put down the Eye of Agamotto, the other Stephen Strange, who we thought was an MCU Stephen Strange, turns out it's not. But he quickly put the eye down. He's like, yeah, I shouldn't linger on this. So did that split force his conscience, like, to split in two different directions and almost a, you know, good versus evil? Because the dark Doctor Strange, he wouldn't listen at all.
Yeah.
Even, when the good Doctor Strange was trying to explain it to him.
Where have we seen this before? I feel like I've seen some other character that was split in two and had an evil version and
It
a good
happens
version.
all the
Must have been
time.
from like
Yeah,
it
yeah,
does
it's
happen.
inevitable.
All it happens
It's a
all
writing
once upon a
device.
time.
It's a writing device. It's overused.
And I will say it is a majorly overused trope in science fiction. However, they did a really good job with it in this episode. It didn't feel like that.
Evil Spock.
That's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Strange Supreme Burrito.
So, I think this kind of pulls away from the theory that you had postulated, Q, about them going in order, in like yearly order, because this hap because the crash happens in 2016. February 2016 to be exact. In fact, it's Groundhog's Day, February 16th of 2016. Which I think is even more fitting now. But the other theory we had about the Watcher becoming more and more prevalent each episode. Denise, what did you think of the Watcher actually interacting with Strange? And we actually saw his face. He actually came into full
Yeah.
view.
And it freaked Christine out,
Oh, yeah. Well, I think she was
Yeah.
more freaked out by the gigantic, horrific monster he had become. But yeah, then there's this
Yeah.
gigantic bald dude all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah, it just popped up and she's like, "What?" I don't know. I was kind of taken back because what he asked him was so like heartfelt, and he was like, "You were warned," and yeah, and that's all I want to say about that because that was a very powerful scene too.
Yeah, did he not just give him the whole like stern parent talk?
Yeah.
He's like,
Yeah, he
"You
did.
shouldn't have stuck the fork in the light socket. I told you. You shouldn't have grabbed the oven while it was hot. I warned you. You've been warned. I could fix it, but I warned you, and now I can't do anything about it." But there was that moment where he almost admitted that he wants to intervene.
Yep.
So they're very much teasing. I think we're going to get an intervention from, and not a sit down, heartfelt letter written kind of intervention. I mean, just he's going to interfere in something big coming up. Because I have a feeling that what I also found interesting. So this episode ends. There's also a big theory. Nelson brought it up in the comments. I'm going to get to that in just a second. Cryptics, thank you for joining up. Is if he's even stranger, can we call him Dr. Stranger? Dr. Stranger. We can call him Dr.
Stranger
Stranger.
danger.
I
He
call
is
him
stranger danger.
yeah, strange Dr. Stranger Danger.
Stranger danger.
I was calling him Dark Strange, but I like that too. Now I lost my train of thought. We had this super bleak ending. This particular universe is completely wiped out. It's left in what looks almost like an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's more of a dimensional pocket, similar to like the mirror dimension.
Yes, that's what I took from it.
But
That's what I was gonna say too.
it just happened
Yeah,
to be
that's.
purple. It just happened to be purple. But he's still alive in there. Everything else got wiped out, but him. And what's gonna happen with a super-powered sorcerer? Who's already probably teetered over the edge of insanity, now left on his own, knowing that he caused all this. We already know we're gonna see him again. We've seen it in the trailers. We've seen that Captain Carter has a kind of face to face with him at one point. So he could be the catalyst that brings all these what if universes together before they fold into the MCU. And this is where the Watcher will have to intervene. That is just a theory. Speaking of theories, we've all seen the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, right?
Yes.
We talked about it last week. I mentioned that I don't think that Doctor Strange is Doctor Strange. If they are folding the what if theories into the MCU, and it seemed like this Doctor Strange was imprisoning these powerful villains in a prison. Could this be the Doctor Stranger Danger version. Instead, he seemed off. He seemed different. He seemed to be wearing a very bad wig, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's if he's casting a disguise spell because what's the garment that he wears? I forgot the name of it. I don't imagine that real one would stay with the dark Doctor Strange. So, you know, that's going to be something he'd have to fake. And also the way he looks, I mean, you see his eyes, he's got shadows below his eyes. He's definitely going to have to, if it's him, he's under sleeping like a hard
disguise. Not sleeping for centuries will do that. You'll get bags. Yeah. I mean, we get bags not sleeping for a day or two. Try not sleeping for centuries. But here's my thing. He's obviously already taken on one Doctor Strange. He could very well entrap the Doctor Strange of the MCU and take his place.
Well, don't forget that Doctor Stranger Danger is whole now. Or is he? Is he? Because he has absorbed, his other half now.
He did absorb
the other one. I think that's also why we get the reaction at the end. It's like, no. Like sacrificing himself for the sake of the world now that he realizes his mistake. So do we have whole Doctor Stranger Danger, or do we have just Stranger Danger in
I think he's going to be, I think he's going to struggle as Dr. Stranger Danger. He's going to struggle consciously with his decisions that he makes from here on out. Is he going to beat himself up from the ones that he made before? Absolutely. With that kind of personality, it's, you know, for, you know, a person capable of abuse outwardly could do it self-infliction as well. But, you know, he's going to he's going to be taking a benevolent stance in the later episodes. So we can hope that maybe he's seen a better way, and he's obviously gotten out of that crystal, and maybe he's a better person for it and on his way to recovery.
I'm not holding my breath on that. Just cause like I said, the insanity, but something else I want to point out from the Spider-Man, he's wearing the Eye of Agamotto in the Spider-Man trailer. Mm-hmm. That was destroyed by Thanos. And there is no time stone. Time stone's gone. The actual necklace was crushed by Thanos on Titan. The necklace shouldn't exist. But the what if version still has the Eye of Agamotto. Mm-hmm. So that's another big clue. That's been the biggest clue that this is something is up with this.
Yeah.
Because
there's really no point in having the casing of the Eye of Agamotto without the time stone.
Exactly.
It's empty. Exactly.
Which means that Thanos would not have existed in that timeline, because after all that time Stranger Danger spent, sorry, I can't get enough of that name, that he spent studying, Thanos would eventually find him.
Well, what he did is he
the stone back.
He created a pocket of time so that time didn't affect him during those centuries. But that also means that Thanos could never get the time stone during that centuries. But that universe is also gone. So that version of Thanos, because he went back to 2016 to try to save Christine, that version of Thanos is gone because that entire universe is gone. So that version never experiences the blip. He never gets the Infinity Gauntlet full. None of that happens because it doesn't exist. So he can still own his time stone.
Okay.
So that's...
makes a little more sense.
It's not going to make a ton of sense until we get to the end of the series, I have a feeling. I do want to bring something up very important. This is probably the most important thing from the entire episode. And Denise, I want your input on this. We got a cape fight, and it was awesome.
It was awesome, but we got to talk about where that cape came from to begin with. He conjured the bug, and he's like, bug was wearing the cape, right? Did I see that correctly?
Yes, it was a giant roach, and I do believe, And I meant to look this up and I didn't. I do believe that character is an actual character in the Marvel comics. There is a version of the Sorcerer Supreme who is a roach.
Wow.
But it is not the same cloak of levitation. It is a different cloak.
Oh, okay.
If you looked at it, it had a bigger collar, had the white stripes. It's actually more his classic cape from the comic books.
Oh, neat. Okay.
But Denise, did you get the same like Hedwig moment when he burned the cloak of levitation completely away?
Yeah.
And when I say Hedwig moment, Jason doesn't know what I'm talking about, and he's frozen, unfortunately.
So I love his face that he's frozen on. That's awesome.
I didn't realize. Everyone go.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm already doing it.
Yeah. Denise has been doing
I'm frozen too. Like that
takes... Denise is practicing to become one of those sideshow mannequin people outside of venues. For those unaware, the Harry Potter moment is Hedwig was Harry's owl, and it died defending him in the second to last film. And it's a very, very sad, sad. Q just hit me up. His computer crashed. He'll be back in a moment. So until then, Denise is going to be sharing the screen with two spots. She'll be split down the middle, but it'll be fine.
Was I the only one that thought about Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat when he absorbed everybody? I was like, this totally feels like Mortal Kombat to me.
I did not think about that, but it is actually a very good analogy. I like that, actually. Yes, Nelson, there was a time when Darkseid held the Infinity Gauntlet, and it did absolutely nothing for him, because the Infinity Stones don't work outside of the Marvel Universe, and he was in the DC Universe with the Gauntlet, and it did nothing. So he just got rid of it.
I also want to talk about who is the Guardian Vishanti that did the, that was the protection spell that was put on his forehead. That actually helped him a lot.
He is one of the other ancient sorcerers that started sorcery in the Marvel Universe. Agamotto was the first. Now the Eye of Agamotto, the necklace is named after. There was a comic book run called Avengers 1 Million BC. And it was the very first heroes on Earth. Like, you had a Ghost Rider riding a woolly mammoth, like a flaming woolly mammoth. You had Odin, and then you had Agamotto, the first ever Sorcerer Supreme. But Vishanti is one that came probably around the same time as Cagliostro, around 1000 AD, when sorcery was huge. They helped write the books that they now study at Kamatage and all the places.
And then who is the Obeng?
That's Cagliostro.
That's Cagliostro?
Obeng is his name before he becomes Cagliostro in the comics.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So when he was ruling India as the king and sorcerer back in 1000 AD, his name was Obeng. And then he became Cagliostro later on. He moved to France, actually, and took that name, although it's not a French word at all. So, kind of a weird dickish move.
It must be so much fun being a writer. It is.
Stuff. You get to just invent things.
Can I point out just one weird writing moment? They tried to do a call to, or like a reference to New York City and New York life with the "Hey, I'm walking here" when Doctor Strange says to some creature, "Hey, I'm talking here."
Oh yeah.
Well, don't forget the Sanctum Sanctorum is in New York, 1770. Is it 177A?
I don't remember. I mean, I know he's from New York.
It's not a real building. It's not a real building because I've actually looked for it when I was in New York. But it's not a real place, unfortunately. Like, Bleecker Street is real, but there's no Sanctum Sanctorum, unfortunately. I'm going back in October. Oh, quick update. Just real quick. Glad you brought that up. I am going back for New York Comic Con 2021 to do interviews. And I have my first one lined up. And it's John Cena. So that's going to be cool. We're gonna talk
such
to
such a good guy.
We're gonna talk to Peacemaker.
Have fun with that.
Denise got to meet him very briefly. I've met him several times. He is a wonderful, wonderful human being, and I can't wait to talk to him again. So that's gonna be fun. And we're gonna talk to Peacemaker series. So glad we brought that up. Jason didn't get to hear it because his computer sucks, but he'll be back. we'll keep talking about this till he comes back on, and then we'll jump to the game. The game's gonna be a lot of fun, by the way, guys. It will not be a bleak, unhappy ending like this episode was. But like, there was so many demons that he possessed. Like, I keep saying demons because they were very monstrous looking, but not all of them were demons. But there were some like straight out of like mythology, like the one that was like had the it had like the deer antler horns and like kind of a skull face, but it was a human body. That's like an old like wives' tale from around the same time as like Sleepy Hollow. Of course, the David the gnome was the first one he took in. The David, David the gnome was a huge series, but that's actually that cartoon series which I watched as a kid was based around the actual myth of gnomes. Lots of cool things that Marvel has really got a great opportunity to just expand their universe so much now, with especially going animated. By now having an animated animation studios, they can do things that like, okay, this will never translate to live action. We just can't do it. Now they can. And I thought that was really cool. Hold on, let me change my note. I actually wrote notes this time, unlike last week. Because, as good as the episode was last week, it was very straightforward.
Well, now that you mention it, I mean, talking about what is the right medium for telling some of these stories from Marvel, I don't think that cape fight would have translated well in CGI for, a live action film or episode. And but thank you for reminding us of that.
I don't
I'm
know.
thinking
I
about the
mean,
possibilities.
it might have, because I thought in Endgame, or not Endgame, Infinity War, when the cape attacks Ebony Maw, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's not cape versus cape.
It might have worked. I mean, I will say
My gosh.
they've got one of the best CGI teams in the world working at Marvel, so they're
Oh,
fine there.
without a doubt. But is it believable? Is it entertaining? That's the question. It's not a matter of how well they do it, it's a matter of how we see it, how we
I think a
react.
cape fight will always be entertaining no matter what the medium is.
I
If I was to go
don't
grab two capes right now and just throw them together on camera, you're going to be entertained. If I only had a second cape. No, I don't own a cape. Or do I? I don't. Or do I? I don't. Or do I? No. Let's talk more about the Watcher, because he is becoming far, more and more prevalent, and like we finally got to see him actually in body this time. He is not the same Watcher from the Marvel comics. That I can confirm that Uatu in the comics is paler than pale, and this one they've modeled much more after Jeffrey Wright, so he's a darker complexion Watcher. And he's got more, he actually looks a bit like Jeffrey Wright in the face. So this is not Uatu. But he is going down a similar path, and he's going to have, I do believe he's going to eventually intervene. Is that the same feeling you guys got?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just feel like you, when you bring in a character like that, that is so well known from the comics for going against what he's supposed to do and interfering and doing it multiple times. Like, you just know that's what the Watcher does. We got that very first tease of Watchers in the Stan Lee cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. When he was in that weird orange astronaut suit, he was talking to those bald guys. Those are Watchers. So that was our very first, and
That's right.
from that moment on, fans of the comics were just like, when are we going to get their interference? When are we going to get that moment, because that's the Watchers, they're kind of cool and they're great for what if, as like the narrators of, well, here's what would happen if this happened. But other than that, bringing that character in means nothing. It's a pointless character if it doesn't interfere, if it doesn't intervene in some way. It's pointless to have this Watcher character in the background who's literally just us at that point. So I do think they are heading that direction. I am curious to see what the next episode is going to be. I'm curious to see where this goes. I'm curious to see how Dr. Stranger Danger gets out of his little purple crystal prison and how it's going to affect him.
I two thoughts. First, thank you so much for making that connection with Stan Lee and the spacesuit, talking to them, because this whole time I've been going, why do I feel like I've seen the Watcher before? Where is he, they from? And that's it. Okay. Secondly, the Watcher being the narrator of the series, one example that I can directly compare this to is the original Broadway cast of Into the Woods, the musical, where we have a narrator who eventually becomes a part of the story in Act Two. So it's giving me more ideas of what might potentially happen.
And Marvel is always known to pull from classic media. I mean, it's like, look at we have all the Norse gods and the Greek gods. You know, we have, you know, Thor and Loki and Odin. We have Hercules and Zeus and other characters like that. They pull from pop culture. They pull from classic literature. So there's always going to be some kind of tie-in to that.
Have there been any other references to Broadway or musical theater in Marvel? I don't think so. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I can't think of any off the top of my head either.
Now I'm going to rewatch them and see if I could pick up on anything. Nelson just said, I always thought of the Watchers as Space Rod Sterling, which I think is fitting.
Yeah, they were very much the Twilight Zone Rod Sterling kind of hope. That's what If always was. Like, if you read, when I read the comics back in the 80s, that was my first thought, was it was like Rod Serling and that. But again, you have the only reason that character was even popular enough to narrate the What If comics was because of his interference in the 60s and 70s. Like, he gave, you know, he was the reason that Galactus did not eat Earth, because he gave the ultimate nullifier to the Fantastic Four. And he's done that a couple times. And then he ended up, there's this unfortunately not great storyline called Original Sin that led to a lot of changes in the Marvel comics that a lot of people didn't necessarily care for. But out of that, in Original Sin, Uatu is actually murdered, and he's murdered by Nick Fury, who uses his eye, because what we find out is that the Nick Fury that's been on Earth has been a life model decoy, and that the real Nick Fury has been on the moon as the one who watches all. So he's been watching not just Earth, but the entire, you know, universe for threats. And he's actually stopped a lot of threats, but in such horrible ways as like blowing up whole planets and whole species and stuff like that. He's done really terrible things. And the Watcher was kind of catching on to what he was doing. He killed the Watcher, took his eye, because now he could use his eye to see even further. But what that led to was some really bad takes on Spider-Man and Thor and other things. It led to the fear itself. It led to where, like, Thor was no longer worthy. And the only reason he wasn't worthy is because he was told that gods aren't worthy. It was just whispered into his ear, and that was enough to make him doubt himself to the point where he wasn't worthy to carry Mjolnir anymore. It turned out that one of the absolute worst things to come out of it was that Gwen Stacy, before she died in the comics, she was thrown off the bridge. You guys remember the first Spider-Man movie when he makes him decide, are you going to save Mary Jane or this fairy? That was kind of a nod to the comics, but it was Gwen Stacy instead. But he just threw her off, and Spider-Man, in trying to save her, he shot a web to her ankle, but she had fallen so far that him snagging her to pull her back up snapped her neck. So technically Spider-Man killed her, and it was his first girlfriend. But it turned out that she had been secretly sleeping with Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, and she was actually pregnant, and he took the babies from her and did all these things. So there was a lot, like, and that's a terrible thing to do. It just completely kills the character. Okay, so Q looks like he's ready to come back in. Let me get to him real quick. All right, he'll be back in just a second.
What the fuck? Not at the... Well, two things. Why would someone want to make that legitimate in the comic books? And secondly, what?
Yeah, exactly. But the point of bringing that up was the fact that how much the Watcher has played into the Marvel comics as a character that actually does intervene and have a place in the comics. So I will say that the Watcher in this Marvel series will play a bigger role, and will something will come of it sooner yeah. rather than later.
And Nelson's right. They almost did that with The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I remember catching on to that when I was watching the trailers in high school. Like that it was what everyone was talking about. Is Gwen going to die from a snapped neck?
Or, and they did that. Well, they actually didn't do the snap neck. They did it where
her skull got crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I actually thought was worse. I think that's worse. I think that they should have done, like, he didn't understand, you know.
Callback.
I think it'd have been a better, it would have made more sense that in him trying to save her, the velocity would have snapped her neck versus I just wasn't in time. Part of that pain is the fact that he is in time. He does save her mm-hmm. in time, but, you know.
Oh, did I come in at the right time?
Yeah, we're discussing the original Sin comic book story arc, and okay. It's awful about how Gwen Stacy was having an affair with Norman Osborn and all that crap. We're going to get ready to jump into the game here in a second. Q, since you missed we were talking about the Watcher and him possibly interfering, just give us a quick wrap up on what you felt on the episode and what you think is coming now that we've seen this.
Is
your camera working, by the way?
Yeah, it's on. It is on, as far as I can tell.
We don't have any video of you.
Do you have that graphic over what would be MySpace?
Nope. It's just all black.
Yeah. I can't figure it out either.
That's weird.
I'm glad to see that we actually have some sort of contact, you know, some kind of interaction between some of, the lower Joes, you know, to the Watcher. So clearly we've seen in the previews that he does, in fact, help them with the army of the what's it called? So, I mean, obviously he's going to interact, but yeah, this is the first step in showing it, and it's really neat. We finally get to see now, how he is, you know, interacting with our characters.
Yeah, I'm excited for sure. So we'll see how that goes. There was one good thing to come out of the original Sin I was leading to. We're gonna get it in Thor 4. Was Gore the God Butcher, really came out of that story. And Christian Bale will be playing Gore the God Butcher in Thor 4. So I'm excited for that. So that should be good. But who's ready to play a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was the podcast portion of episode 12. We're going to go ahead and split it up into two episodes because the game took quite a bit of time as well. So sit back and relax. The game is coming up real soon, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Make sure you like and subscribe. Comment down below your favorite parts of episode 4 of What If, and hit that notification bell.